Shaya Chavdal, Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Zayin. We are in the middle of the Nevuah of Doomsday. This is a very Doomsday prophecy, absolutely.
Nothing has changed since I left.
What?
Nothing has changed.
I guess so. Doomsday. This is doomsday for the world. The previous prophecies were doomsday for individual nations. This is scary stuff. Okay, so in the middle of really, literally doomsday, we learned the reason for doomsday was all the various different sins of Avus, Sairois, Chol, Chok, Heferu, Purisolam, Al Kain, Allah. Four different types of sins are mentioned in the previous psukim, and we continue what will the world will look like at this point in time. Simply, these psukim refer, we learned there were two approaches to the psukim. The one approach is that it refers to Yemos HaMashiach, the time of Melchemes Goig U'Magog, where there will be some type of worldwide Chorban that will result as the aftermath of this global war, and then that will usher in the new period of Yemos HaMashiach or Mashiach or Olam Haba. These things are not at all clear. Or this psukim refer to the Chorban of the Malchus of Yehuda at the time of the Bayis Rishon. So then everything has to be interpreted differently. The psukim are referring specifically to the nation of Yehuda, to Klal Yisrael, and referring to the sins of the people of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, and the region of Yehuda. And then everything has to be interpreted differently. Okay, but let's learn more with the approach that refers to the time of Melchemes Goig U'Magog. Indeed, that's really how Rashi appears to learn, especially as psukim continue. Even the Mefarshim that learned the beginning of the parak as a reference to the time of the Korban Bayis Rishon begin to change and adapt the psukim towards the Melchemes Goig U'Magog, because it's very hard to interpret the psukim in other ways. Pasuk Zayin, Oval Tirosh, the grain will mourn, Umlala Gofen, the vine will wither. Two different expressions which mean the same thing, mourn and wither, because as we mentioned, the earth will be sick and will not produce wine. And we learned the previous sukkim discussed the produce, but here we refer specifically to wine. The reason why we refer to wine, as the passage includes, Ne'enchu is called Simchelev. All those that were accustomed to rejoicing, to having a glad heart, will now give out a sigh. This pasuk refers specifically, Simcha will cease to exist. The previous pasuk mentioned that life will cease to exist. There will be grain, produce, the necessities of life. The earth will flatter the inhabitants. It will appear as if it's producing grain, but when you look closely in the husk, you will discover there is no kernel. Here, it appears that we were focusing on the survivors. And as the pasuk before concluded, v'nishar enosh mizar, there will be a few survivors. They will have enough what to live on. But these few survivors will not experience joy. There will be no luxuries. Yayin, an object, ayayin, something which represents simcha, joy, hana, pleasure in this earth, will come to an end, and that's why the Tirosh and the Gofen will mourn and wither. Nenchu kol simche lev, all those that were accustomed to rejoicing will give out a sigh. Pasuk Ches, Shavas misos tupim, the joy of those that play musical instruments. Tupim simply refers to the drums, or some other type of musical instrument which the sound is produced through banging, through hitting, through different types of clapping. Yeah. Drums. So similar different interpretations. All the musical instruments in Tanakh, it's not absolutely clear what any one of them are. I mean, we generally have an approach to describe a kinar and the tupim, different things. But if you look carefully, there's a lot of disagreement as to exactly what these types of instruments are. But even here it says Shavas will come to an end. And this, like, you have the word Shavas that's the first word of the kinos. The kinos is Shavas. Shavas misos. So here, that's the same, that's been used in this pasuk in the same way. Shavas, it will cease. It will come to an end, a sudden end. Misos, the joy to pim of those that were accustomed to play, to rejoice with the drums. Chodal, another word which is the same as Shavas, it will cease to exist. Sha'on, the roar, the the noise, the expression of alizim, the people that previously were happy. People that are happy, they when they walk in the street, they make noise, they talk, there is simcha, there is discussion, there is a sound. When you walk in the street, just listen, you hear a sound, a commotion. People are talking and going about their daily lives in a way of joy. So this sha'on alizim will come to an end. Again, the pasuk concludes shavas misos kinar. The joy that was produced by the harp, the kinar, will come to an end. Bashir lo yishtu yoyin. When they sing, when people will find something to rejoice about. Let's see, even during these very dark times, a person will make a simcha, whatever simcha that will be. But lo yishtu yoyin. They will not drink wine. Any form of joy that people will try to bring upon themselves will be severely diminished. They will not be accompanied with yayin, lo yishtu yayin. And in fact, yemar sheichar lishosav, it will be bitter. To drink wine, it will be bitter. It will remind them of the good old days. It will remind them, they'll remember when they drank wine in times of real joy, and they do not want to bring back those memories. So the pasuk tells us to drink wine, sheikhar, which is an intoxicating beverage, same as wine, it will be bitter, lishosa, for those that drink this beverage. All the Farshim say that it means simply that yayin is also, we know in Chazal, yayin is given to people who are in mourning. Wine has the ability to enhance your mood. If a person is in a mood of simcha, yayin enhances the simcha. If a person is in a state of mourning and is looking for comfort, yayin has the koach to assist in bringing out comfort, mourning. Tnu yayin le La'oved, the pasuk says, I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk, but yayin is given to people who are in a state of mourning to comfort, to give them comfort. I was telling you, this is a very beautiful word from the Reish Sharaf. The Reish Sharaf is of Aaron Levine, who is my great grandfather, and he takes note that by the Nazir it says, the Achar Yishte HaNazir Yayin. After the Nazir concludes his term of Nazirus, the pasuk says he will now drink wine. What does it mean to Yishta Nozi Yayin? So the Reish Rav takes note that in Chazal, if you look carefully, you'll note that in ancient times, when coming to Pesach, Yayin, this is a very good word for the Haggadah, part of the Haggadah section, that when a person drinks wine, you're not allowed to pour the wine for yourself. Someone else must pour the wine. The truth is, this idea where someone pours your wine is only explicitly mentioned in the Torah in reference to a person who is in mourning. Tnu yayin la'oved. You know the pasuk by heart? Anyone know the pasuk by heart? Tnu yayin. The pasuk says, give wine to the mori nefesh. A person who is bitter, who needs comfort, who needs to be calmed down, give him some yayin. It will calm him down. It will bring upon him comfort. Everywhere we find a person drinking yayin from simcha, the psukim, you have to study the psukim, he has all the psukim, a person takes the wine himself. He drinks wine on his own. The bracha, the Torah is giving the nazir, the achar yishte ha-nazir yayin. Now that you have abstained from yayin for 30 days, or for your period of nazirus, and you have learned to control yourself, Hashem says, I'm giving you a bracha that's for the rest of your life. When you drink wine, you'll take the wine yourself. Yishte hanozir yayin. The yayin himself will drink the wine. Because if someone is serving you wine, that's not a good sign. That means a person is bitter, a person is depressed, a person is in need of comfort. Pesach, by the Seder, we drink wine for simcha. We drink wine the dalakos of Gula, the Otseis, the Mitzalot, the Gautav, the Lakachti. But everything that we do by the Seder is always bittersweet. There's matzah and there's moror. The yayin is served the same way a mourner is served yayin. Because we also remember the tsar, the bitterness, the tsaros, that we and the fact that we also are currently in galus, that's also part of the remembrance of yayin. Every part of the Haggadah, if you study it carefully, we'll study some of these ideas, it's a bittersweet experience. Yayin certainly is. The yayin is samach levavenosh. Yayin is something which brings simcha, but during the Seder, it's served to us the way it's served to a mourner. Because we do recall all of the Korbanos, all of the suffering, the people who suffered and died in Egypt, and everything that the Golus represents, especially for us today, that's also something that we have to keep in mind and remember at the time of our Simcha of the Yitzia Geula from Mitzrayim. So here as well we have the same idea. Bashir lo yishtu yayin. They will not drink wine, but if the wine will be drunk, if there will be a period of time during this doomsday that yayin will be consumed, it will be yemar, it will be bitter, sheikhar, intoxicating beverage, lish shosaf, for those that drink it, again the two interpretations to summarize, because when people who are in mourning, are given wine to calm them down, and if people will drink yayin mitoch simcha, it will remind them of the glorious good old days before doomsday has come upon them, and they don't want to recall those memories. It will intensify the pain of life that they experience at this point in time. Therefore, they will abstain from drinking wine. Pasuk Yud. There's another very important word in this idea, and this is that yayin is gematria 70. It's also very popular. From this, all your children and grandchildren will tell you this in the Haggadah. Yayin is gematria 70, and it refers to the Sanhedrin. That there's a Chazal. We don't follow this Chazal. That from the time when the Sanhedrin was bottled, after the Sanhedrin went into Golus from the Lishkas Hagozis, there was a ban on prohibition. There was a ban on drinking yayin. So, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, they will not drink wine. Yemar, it's a reference, there's a veiled reference. Okay, I don't know. There's a veiled reference here. Okay, there's more to it. Okay, I didn't prepare the details, but there's a veiled reference in this pasuk here. Chazal learned that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, especially specifically after the Churban, the Golus of the Sanhedrin, wine was not drunk by people, at least for a period of time. Eventually, obviously, that became bottled. We drink wine today, of course. Pasuk Yud, Nishbura Kiryas Tahu. Now, this is a common idea in Psukim in Tanakh. The pasuk refers to the future. The city Tohu that will ultimately be desolate. At this the moment in time when the pasuk is being written, the city that we are discussing is in full bloom. It's a beautiful city, it's established, there are people, but the pasuk is telling us Nishtura. It will be broken, it will be destroyed. Kiryas, this city, Tohu, that is desolate. It's not yet desolate. But the pasuk is written in Al Shem Ha'osid, the city that will one day be a ghost town, completely desolate, empty. Nish Bira will be broken. Sugar called Bayis Mibo. Sugar means it will be locked. The cities will be shut down. Every Bayis Mibo from entering. No one will be allowed to enter a home where people will not enter. The city will be locked down. It will be a ghost town. Pasuk Yudches, Tzevocha al Hayayin Bachutzos. People will cry. They will scream out, Al Hayayin Bachutzos. Bachutzos means in the street. Al Yayin means over the fact that there is no wine. But it doesn't mean specifically wine. This is a metaphor. They will cry that there's nothing any longer to rejoice. There's nothing to live for. There is no joy in life. The world has come to an end. The world is chora, as we learned in the previous sukkim. The society has been completely bottled. There's no difference between the kohen and the regular person, between the rich man and the poor man, the person who lends and the person that owes money, so on and so forth. Society, civilization has come to an end. People, the few survivors, will cry out al hayayin concerning the fact that there's nothing in life to rejoice, to drink to. Bachutzos, in the street. Arva means dark, called simcha, all joy. When a person is in a state of joy, it's lichtik. He's happy, there's light, he can see, he has vision, he has hope, he has something to look forward to, he sees things on the horizon. But when a person is depressed, life is dark, there's nothing to look forward to, there's nothing to see. That's what the pasuk here means. Arva will become dark, called simcha, all joy. Gola, Misos Aretz, the joy of the earth has gone into exile. I believe Rashi here says this refers to this. Okay, Rashi simply means Megala. Gola means has gone into exile. The joy, Misos Aretz, joy of the earth. People just have nothing to rejoice over, to look forward to. Pasuk Yibes, Nishar Bo'ir Shama, in the city The city is left with desolation. Shemama. Shama comes from the word shemama, desolation. Ushi'iya, and another word for desolation, churban, destruction. Yukas shohar strikes the gate, which means that if the city is abandoned, the gate of the gates of the city just wither and are dilapidated and are left hefker for the animals and for the rust. Yukas means to be smitten. It's ruined. It's ignored. It deteriorates. Shohar, the gates of the city, which is a sign that the city is desolate. That is what has happened in this period of time. Ushi'iyah, Yukas Shohar, the Shi'iyah desolation has taken over, has overcome the gates of the city.
Is Shi'iyah similar to
Shohar? Holocaust. I guess so. It appears to be. These are all very similar words. Shama, Shi'iyah, Shemama, Shoah. These are all words which are related to one another. The exact differences, the nuances between one word and the other, I don't know, but they're all obviously very similar. The Rashi here says, I was looking at the Mitzvot, that's why the Rashi here, look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Misos Haaretz, He Yerushalayim. See, Rashi is going back and forth what these psukim refer to. So simply, these psukim on one level refers to the Churban of Yerushalayim, the Bayis Rishon. And here it tells us that Gola Misos Haaretz. Gola means literally exiled. The people who lived in Yerushalayim have now gone into exile. Gola. Misos, the joy of the earth. Yerushalayim is the Misos, the joy of the earth. And that's what the pasuk refers to according to Rashi. It doesn't just simply mean that people all over the world, the joy that they experienced in life is gone. It means that Yerushalayim, that was the Misos Haaretz, the inhabitants have now gone into exile. Pasuk then, Rashi goes further, Ushi'iyah, Yukas Shohar, this is the Gemara. The Gemara refers that Ushi'iyah refers to Shadim. Look at Rashi, Pasuk Yidbeis, Alidei Shi'iyas Galmod, due to the desolation, Galmod means the complete, utter desolation, Shayiyu, Habatim, Shomi, and Yoshev, being due to the complete loss, the void. No one lives in the city. Yukasu Hasha'arim Alidei Mazikin, demons. Some type of spiritual force will destroy. You guys will knock at the gates of the city, and everything will be destroyed. Pasuk Yugimel Ki Choyiyeh Bekev Aretz Sochamim. So it will be. Now this pasuk refers to the survivors. Rashi and Mitzvot explain. We're referring to the survivors. How many survivors will exist at this time period where there is war and everything is destroyed? Very, very few. The number of survivors you can count on your fingers. Within the earth, among the nations. Not just Eretz and Am, can refer to Eretz Yisrael, and the other can refer to the entire world. Two examples. One example refers to the harvest of the olive tree. Olive tree is harvested by banging. The people who own the trees, the people who would collect the farmers, well, the orchards, they would come in to collect the olives. They would bang the trees, and the olives would fall from the tree. And it was very easy. If you have olives that are fully developed, they're fully ripened, and you give a zetz, so the olives fall and they collect, and you put the olives in a basket. How many? But when you bang the olive tree, not every olive falls down. There are a couple of stubborn olives that refuse to fall off the tree. Those that are within reach, or which you can easily climb up on a ladder and pull off, you will go through the effort to pull those stubborn olives off the tree. But the few olives, the stubborn olives that are all the way high up on the top branch, it's not worth the effort for you to climb the tree to pluck off those few little olives. So when everything is said and done, and the day is over, and you've collected all the olives, and you've exerted yourself, how many olives are left on the tree? A handful. You can count them. Why have you abandoned them? It's just not worth your effort. The same thing when it comes to the harvest of the grapes. The odolos here refers to the clusters of grapes. You go through the vineyard, you collect the grapes, and sometimes there are stubborn clusters which don't easily come off. You work on them, you collect them. But the ones that are very stubborn or are in difficult places to reach, it's just not worth your effort. You abandon them and you leave them alone. That will be that is the mashal for the number of survivors that will exist at the time that these psukim refer to. The vast majority, 95% of society, civilization, will cease to exist. It will be as if there was a harvest and the farmers have come, they've collected the olives, collected the grapes, there's nothing left. There will be a few little olives left on the center branch. There will be a few clusters of grapes in the far corners of the vineyard, which you will abandon. That's what society will look like. A few people here, a little outpost here, a little settlement here, but nothing more than that. That is what the world will look like at this point in time. It will be kinokev sayis, like the olives that are left after the banging of the olive. Nokev means to bang. The way olives were harvested was by giving a bang on the tree. Most of them would fall off, but the few that would remain, they are called the nokev sayis. Not literally the ones that are banged. It means the ones that are left over after one has banged away at the olive, ke'olelos, like the clusters of grapes im kolovots here, after the batsir, the harvest of grapes, kolo, is over. After you have concluded the harvest, there are a few isolated clusters. That's what civilization will look like. Pasek, yudalit, hema, now we refer to the survivors. These few survivors are going to sing shira to Hashem for being allowed to remain alive. They look at society. The whole world is charaf. There are just a few survivors. Everyone will realize that Hashem saved him for a purpose, for a special reason. And they will give forth shira. And as the pasuk is now about to tell us, the shira they will sing for being allowed to survive will be greater than the shira Bnei Yisrael sang to Hashem at Kriyas Yamsuf. Shri Shlo Pesach, Oz Yoshe Moshe Vnei Yisrael as Hashira Hashem, Vayomu Lemar, they saw the Yad Hashem, Hashem saved them, they would say, Sivi Yitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, that sang Shira to Hashem, the people who survived Yimos HaMashiach, this catastrophe, this world holocaust, will sing Shira, and their soul will be greater. Hema, these people, these survivors, Yisu Kolam, will raise up their voices, Yoronu, they will sing, Bigoin Hashem, they will sing about the glory, the pride of Hashem, the greatness, the grandeur of Hashem. Tzohalu, another expression of song, they will bring forth song, an expression of Shira, Miyom. It's interpreted almost by all the Mefarshim to mean more. The mem here means more than the song the Jewish people sang at the Yom, at Kriyas Yamsuf. That will be the feeling of simcha and joy. It's very hard to understand. As Chazal tells us that when Bnei Yisrael passed the Yam, the Malach HaSharis wanted to sing Shira. And Hashem said, you want to sing Shira? Ma'ase Yodai, Tova Bayam, V'atem Oimim Shira. My creation, my people, the Egyptians, they're human beings, they're being destroyed. You want to sing Shira? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the Malachim to sing Shira because of the Churban of the Mitzrayim. And yet here, although people are going to witness the world, the Churban of the world, and we learn over here all the various expressions of Tzar, that they will experience, yet the few survivors will still sing Shira, and their Shira will be greater. Tzohalu Miyam. Pasuk Tes Vav. Interesting. Kigo'o'ga. So it's the same word. So what exactly? Why is this expression go'on here used? I don't know. What exactly is the exaltedness? They see the Yad Hashem in what has happened, and they realize they were selected for a purpose, and therefore they sing the Shema. Who are the survivors? So simply means Klal Yisrael. So it's not clear who are the survivors. Does it mean that there are people from the Umos Olam that survive? How much of Klal Yisrael will survive? It doesn't say. It's not the pasuk that says Alkein Defo Buurim Kabu Es Hashem. Okay, I want to get the Buurim. There are two interpretations. Buurim simply will learn very quickly. It means in the cracks.
So we're not overcome by depression, as we learned in the Sukkim before.
They're right. Well,
the, it, here the depression, but she alleged the young.
And yet they're saying, you're right, it's a good point. Yeah, yes.
Well, depression and suddenly.
So it could be there are different groups. It could be there are different groups. It could be that the people, that this pasuk refers specifically to the Jewish people who are going to Svadis. That's really what the next pasuk seems to indicate. But, and the previous pasuk, when the people are depressed, refers to the Umos HaOlam. Or maybe you're right, maybe there's a process. First there is depression, and then as you're saying, they overcome a period of time, although they will overcome their depression and sing to Hashem. You're right, there are many different approaches and interpretations of how to reconcile the depression and the lack of joy in the previous sukkim and hear the expression that they're singing to Hashem.
The time at a Holocaust, they would be depressed. The war is going
on. And when it's over, now when it's over, after survival, now they sing to Hashem. Okay, could be.
But there was some, like after the last Holocaust, after World War II,
yeah.
You had Jews who went off the derech completely. They didn't believe in Buddha.
But this one comes about in a different way.
Maybe these psukim refer to the Holocaust. Maybe these psukim already were fulfilled. I mean, I'm sure there's no question there are opinions that say that the psukim that we're reading over here was fulfilled in the Holocaust. I mean, you can read every single word here, or you can read into what has happened.
And that happened, what he said, also happened at the time of the first
Beis Hamikdash.
The crisis of faith, and
the Crusades.
Came into power at that time. Same thing, that there was faith.
Inquisition, you go through the whole history, every period of history, you could. These sukkim, I mean, okay, but there are many interpretations. Let's go past the Tezvav al Kedif Aburim Kablash. Aburim means in the cracks. The pasuk seems to tell us that we're the people that will seek protection from this chuk that is occurring will hide in cracks. And now, when they peek, they peer out of the crack and they see that the war is over and they have survived from those cracks. They won't even wait to leave the crack to come to the surface to sing Shira Al Kain. Therefore, when they come to the realization that they have survived, Bo Urim, in the crack. The reason why a crack is called Urim, Lashon of Ur, is light, because through the crack light enters in the cracks themselves. Kabedu Hashem. Yeshayi is giving them instructions. Give honor. It's a command. Kabedu Hashem. Give honor to Hashem. Biyei Hayam. Among the islands of the sea. This also simply refers to a safety island, a place where the people will flee, will hide from the war that is overcoming the world. They will fly, they will escape to some island. Among the islands of the sea, there, these two words go back on the word kabadu, survivors who are either in the cracks or have sought refuge among the islands, give honor to Hashem. Shame Hashem Elokei Yisrael to who? To the Shame Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Yisrael. Okay, Pasik Tes Zayin. Pasik Zayin, Nishayin, it's a new section, but it's a little part of the same theme. Nichnaf Aretz Zimiro Shamanu. Yishayin says, from the corners of the earth, we have heard song. He's simply, the pasuk is referring to this time period where there was a great churban, a great war. There are survivors, and the people who have survived have given forth song. What is the song? What will they sing? They will sing the following two words: Tzvi Latzadik, beauty to the righteous. That is the song. Beauty belongs to the righteous. People at this point in time will come to realize that it pays to be a tzaddik. Although, throughout history, tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddikim have suffered greatly, now the world has come to a point of perfection, and now it is deserving to give the tzaddik his due. Beauty belongs to the tzaddik. Vo'imah, then Yeshaya says, after he reviews the entire period of time, Rozili, Rozili, Oili, Bogdim Bogodu Uveged Bogdim Bogodu. There's a lot going on here. First of all, let's just take one thing at a time. What does it mean, Rozili? So simply, and Rashi gives two interpretations. Simply it means, well, the second interpretation first, it means to wither away. Yeshaya says, I can't take it. This is too much. It's too overwhelming to see the utter churban that will come upon the world at this point in time. I am withering away. I'm melting away. I'm rosin means to melt, to wither, to disappear. It's too much for me to bear to see such terrible churban. And he repeats this three times. Rosili, I'm withering. Rosili, oily. Woe to me that I have to see so much suffering. Then he says, what will happen? Bogedim bogadun. Now bogedim means robbers. And this refers to the nations of the world. The nations of the world will rob. Bogadu means to rob, betray. To betray, to rob, to plunder. The word bogadu can have many, many meanings. All of them are not very pleasant. It means that the nations of the world who are by essence, by definition, robbers, thieves, will rob the Jewish people. And then he says something very interesting, which is so true. Study Jewish history. Uveged bogedim, and the robbers of the robbers, bogodu, will also rob the Jewish people. In other words, in Jewish history, study Jewish history, you will discover many times Jews suffer two reasons. Number one, they suffer because the nations of the world target them. They are Jews. Let us target the Jewish people. Just on their own, just the fact that Esav, Kabbalah, the Halacha B'Yodenu, Esav, son of Yaakov, the nations of the world like the Chepa to bring harm upon the Jews. But there's another form of suffering, and that is where the world, the nations of the world, fight against themselves, where the Christians are fighting against the Muslims, where the Muslims are fighting against the Christians, and the Jewish people are caught in the crossfire. And they suffer very much being in the crossfire, sometimes even more than when just the nations of the world target the Jews themselves. These are two different types of suffering the Jews have encountered in the long gospel. Study Jewish history, you'll see everything pretty much fits into these two categories. They're targeted. They're targeted for Churban. The other Churban again is the Crusades. What happened during the Crusades? I mean, it was really, they were targeting the Jews as well, but the Christians wanted to conquer the Muslims. And as they fought with each other, the Christians fought with the Muslims, and the Muslims fought back. This went on for 1,000 years, still going on. Who was caught in the crossfire? The Jewish people. And they suffered greatly. That's what it means here in this pasuk. Yeshayahu over here is reviewing the entire world history, and he's saying, V'oimar, rozili, rozili oily. I'm withering away, I'm withering away. Woe to me to witness such destruction. What am I witnessing? I'm witnessing bogedim bogodu. I'm witnessing robbers steal. I'm witnessing robbers referring to the nations of the world, bogodu, to rob, to cause harm, to bring tsar to the Jewish people. And that I also witness uveged bogedim, robbers against robbers, meaning where one nation, let's say one, the Christians, are fighting against the Muslims, or one nation that nothing to do with the Jewish people. There's a world war going on, but who is in the middle? The Jews are in the middle, and the goyim, both parties, take advantage. Bogodu, they together will steal and bring harm upon the Jewish people. So both ideas are captured here in this one very powerful passage. Okay, one more very important idea. I had this in my notes last week, and I don't know where my notes. I need it for the Haggadah. All right, we'll find it in a minute. But Michnaf Aretz Zmiro Shamanu. The word Michnaf are the letters Mem Chof Nun Pei. And then we proceed to the word Tzvi Latzadik. What do these five letters have in common? These are the Mansipach, the end letters of the Aleph Beis. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. And then there are five additional end letters, Mem, Nun, Chof, Pei, Tzadi. The Mem Sofis, the Nun Sofis. All of these letters, the Mem, Chof, Nun, Pei, Tzadi, are all used in Tanakh as expressions of Geula. Now, I don't remember all of the Pesukim. Let's try to remember some of them. The Pasuk, let's say, Pasuk Chof. The Chof. Where do we find the word chaf being used? Lech lecha. Hashem says to Avraham, Lech lecha me'aretzecha umimoylatecha mibeisavicha la'aretz asher areka. The beginning of Avraham Avinu coming to Eretz Yisrael, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promising, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Klal Yisrael, with Lech Lecha. The Chaf was doubled. The Chaf. Then we come to the letter Pei. Pei. Pakod Pokadati. Pakod Pokadati is another one of the letters that was used for Golos. That was the symbol that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, they had a tradition that the person who will come and say the word Pakod Pokadati is going to be the Goel. The Men is Otsamta Mimenu. Otsamta is at the Nun. There's a pasuk of Yitzchak, and there's a pasuk by Yaakov, where Avimelech said to Yitzchak, Atzamta mimenu, leave, you have to leave us because you are too powerful, you are successful, you are greater than us. And there's a pasuk that uses the Nun in reference to Yaakov Avinu, I don't recall from memory. These letters are all letters that are used, they're doubled. They're doubled, and they're used in reference to Geulus, good news for the Jewish people. The only letter that's not used in Tanakh for good news, it's doubled, is the Tzadi. So here Yeshaya says, this is a Jewish, this is not from a Rishon, this is from the Achronim, Nichnaf Ha'aretz Zemiro Shaman. We already heard the good news that came from the Mansapach letters of Mem Chof Nun Pei. Pakod Pakaditi, Lech Lucha, Atzamta Mimenu, and there's one other pasuk. We've heard those four letters. But the letter Tzadi, that we have not yet heard. Tzvi la Tzadik. The doubling of the Tzadi, Tzvi, beauty belongs to the Tzadik. That we have not heard. And that we're yearning, we wait, we yearn yet to hear. That will come at the time of Mashiach. You know, we say every day in davening, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch li Olam Voed. So that pasuk shows one of the most mysterious psukim in Psuki the Zimmer. Everything in Psuki the Zimmer, by and large, comes from David HaMelech. It's all Tehillim, Ashrei, the five Halalukas, Hodu is sent Divrei Hayamim. These are psukim from Tehillim, from Divrei Hayamim. Almost everything that we have in Psuki the Zimmer comes from something that David HaMelech himself said. Question then is, why in Yehi Chavo do we have the pasuk Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vod? This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, that's Rabos Machashavos Blavish. I'm getting confused. The Atzas Hashem Yisokum, that's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's another question. But Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch is not even a pasuk. There is no such pasuk anywhere in the entire Tanakh. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam. Where this was a pasuk that was invented, that was taken from different sukkim in Tanakh and constructed into one sentence. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam. And it refers to Mansapach. Melech is Begematria 90. And what does it refer to? Mem Nun. Hashem Moloch is also 90, that's the Tzadi. Hashem Yimloch refers to Pach Peichof, which is Begematria 100. So again, you break up Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Melech, Moloch, Yimloch, Man Tzepach. Man Tzepach are the five letters which are the end letters of the Aleph base. These are letters of Geula, of redemption. As we see over here inside this pasuk, Michnaf Aretz Mir Shemanu, we already heard the good news from the Mem Chaf Nun Pei. We're still waiting for the Tzila Tzadik. Hashem Melech is Mem Nun. Hashem Moloch is Tzadi. Hashem Yimloch is Pach Pei Chaf. So the Gula will come when the recognition of the Shbaruch Hu is King of the world. Melech, Moloch, Yimloch is all three together. All three together is how we have all three, that's what we see over here. Okay, that's just an idea of Michnaf, Aretz, Zimur, Shamanu, Tzilat Tzadik. Just to remember the Mansapach, Mem, Chof, Mem, Pei, and we have yet to hear the Tzilat Tzadik. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good day. Take care. Okay, well, we have to finish up this sim, and it's not so hard. One more ado. Shin Samach. Gimel. That's not okay. Let's start from the top line, just in the middle, but